Sports Beat Extra with Odrin Johnson on Beat.
I'm delighted to be joined by Off the Ball's Will O'Callaghan after it was announced earlier this week that Derek Ling would be stepping down as the manager of the Kilkenny senior hurling team. Ling had been in charge of the Cats for 3 years, guiding them to the All-Ireland final in 2023. But a final day defeat to Dublin last month saw them miss out on the top three in the Leinster Championship for the first time ever, knocking him out of this year's All-Ireland series. Will, I suppose, following on from that game against Dublin, probably wasn't a surprise that 9 days later we got this announcement, was it?
No, not surprising at all, really. I think Derek Ling cut a very frustrated figure, understandably. That first Leinster Championship loss to Dublin since 2013, as you mentioned, eliminating them from the Championship way earlier than they would have expected. They had won the three in a row in his first three of the four seasons, and despite the fact that Killian Buckley's goal had come quite late on in the second year of the tenure, you know, outside of that, Kilkenny had been setting the standard within the province. They last year got to an All-Ireland semi-final where the ball had been cleared off the line for a potential goal right at the end of the game. You know, shenanigans around the scoreboard at the time that shot was taken aside. It could have sent Kilkenny back into another All-Ireland final, and then this year really it hasn't got going for Kilkenny whatsoever. And when it just seemed to be weighing very heavy on Derek Ling, he even said, I'm not sure if this was just subconsciously, but he said they'll be back and they can get back to that level again of competing for All-Irelands. It wasn't a we will get back to that level to be back at All-Irelands, which is coming from Derek Ling. I wondered at the time if that was a bit of an indication that his mind was already made up, that after not getting out of the group stages, that he wouldn't take that extra year of his 2-year extension, which he'd been given last year by Kilkenny County Board. I think credit to Derek Ling as well. He's cleared the decks early in the summer where Kilkenny can now go and begin the search for the next manager. It's not going to drag on for weeks and weeks. It's not going to take a lengthy county board review. Derek Ling decided to step down himself, as you said, within 2 weeks of their exit from the Championship. So it's kind of over to the Kilkenny County Board now to go and find the what they'll feel is the correct candidate. But I wasn't surprised at all he decided to step down and step down as quickly as he did.
Yeah, it kind of seemed like the writing was on the wall, I suppose. There was inklings of it, obviously, midway through the Championship. I suppose that Galway defeat in the league and then also in Leinster kind of maybe was thinking, okay, this might be choppy territory for Kilkenny. But I think probably if you look at it more on a personnel level, probably the loss of Hugh Lawler and Billy Ryan surely played a massive role in Kilkenny's woes this year, did it?
Massively. Like, I mean, Hugh Lawler for the best part of the last decade has been the best fullback in the country. And while Mikey Carey has been a very capable deputy in going back into the number three shirt, it's meant to recycling and a reshuffle of their halfback line for this season, which I don't think ever really necessarily settled down and worked. And they had to chop and change an awful lot. It's kind of the key was that they were going to go with Mikey Carey at three and then Derek Corcoran, their captain, at number six for this season. But then the personnel around him changed quite a bit. Sometimes it was Richie Reid, sometimes it was Paddy Deegan. It never quite settled in to you know, one of the most important lines of your field, really, the half back line, to be settled coming into Championship. And I thought really the moment for Kilkenny this season where it felt like, okay, maybe they're not going to get to the level required, was the game in Salthill in the National Hurling League where they took Kilkenny's biggest defeat since the 1950s. But still, there was always part of me, and maybe this is just because we're conditioned by Kilkenny during Championship generally getting it right on the night eventually, was that even after some of the other lacklustre enough performances, like I was at the game where they played against Offaly and it ended up a draw after the Phantom 65 at the end of the game, but I don't think too many Kilkenny supporters could have felt that they actually deserved to win that one. Wexford, as it worked out, were quite poor this season, and maybe when we saw that performance in Nolan Park that Kilkenny put in, we had to balance that against the way that Wexford had been going. And as you say, the loss against Salthill in the first game in the Championship left them with an uphill task to qualify. But still, I kind of thought when they go to Parnell Park, you can almost set your watch to the fact that Kilkenny beat Dublin, you know, only two occasions, once in the 1940s and that game in 2013 after the replay where Dublin had won. I still thought that Kilkenny were going to get it right, but really after about a quarter of an hour in that game you could only see one winner at Parnell Park, and Kilkenny looked bereft of ideas. I know there's been a lot of talk this week about their style of hurling and what Derek Ling has been trying to change to, and maybe play a bit more like the successful under 20 team that he was in the management of, that maybe played the ball a little bit shorter. I'm not sure it's totally stylistic, but you can't overlook the fact that some really, really important players missing. As you said, both Billy and Hugh not to be around this season. Realistically, they didn't have Adrian Mullen for the entire year because of that horrible thumb injury he picked up at the tail end of Ballyhale's season. And just some of the other players just haven't had a good year either. You know, like John Donnelly, you know, we didn't get Mossy Keown back to the form that he was in last season when he was in All-Star territory. Like, just for quite a few of their players, they underperformed this season, and you can't afford that. Even if you've got a team of Kilkenny's quality and Kilkenny's winning power and so on, you can argue all you want, Adrian, about the fact that they've lost some big games over the last decade, and they have, All-Ireland semi-finals, league finals, All-Ireland finals, but to get to a point where they don't get out of the province, I think was fairly inconceivable, even after the league campaign, which I think was so-so. You'd probably rate it as a C at the end of it, but yeah, as a result of that, I don't think there was any way that Derek Ling really could have stayed on, and he knew that himself.
There's been a couple of, I suppose, conversations surrounding the historical elements of Kilkenny that has led to this sort of period where obviously Brian Cody led them through their most successful period ever, but some people then look back on that period and think, well, there wasn't much opportunities given to younger players, and they were kind of playing the same players consistently, and that meant that them players were kind of, you know, saying, ah, well, to hell with this, I'll leave it. Like, how much do you think that that plays a role in what Derek Ling has obviously been left with in the later years? Do you think if there was a bit more consistency and a bit more shared around of the baton, I suppose, on the pitch, that maybe Kilkenny wouldn't be in this position right now?
Look, it's an impossible one. Like, who would ever want to take over the most successful manager of all time? And I'm not comparing him directly with David Moyes and Alex Ferguson here, but the first guy through the door always finds it difficult. And I'm sure the Kilkenny County Board at the time that Derek Ling was appointed would have felt that he was an ideal continuity candidate, given that he'd been involved in two of the All-Ireland wins as a selector, given that he cut his teeth as the under-20 manager. It seemed like it was perfectly set for him to just come in and maybe carry on the momentum that was there with Brian. Like, the more and more you think about it, maybe 2019 was a year where they had gone a little bit further than expected with the group of players that they had, and it was in the middle of a kind of a recycle and a rebuild that Brian left. And Brian Cody was in a position at the end of his tenure where he could decide where he wanted to go. If Brian Cody still wants to be in charge right now, he probably still could be. Nobody would ever have questioned his legacy with Kilkenny if he had decided to stay on and continue to keep going. But it meant that Derek Ling was taken over at a very difficult time. I thought at the time when you'd, you know, two former Young Hurlers of the Year in your forward line in both Owen Cody and in Adrian Mullen, that there was actually enough of a nucleus to continue to build a successful team around them. But you can't argue against the fact that Limerick and maybe even the Cork team at the moment have maybe just upped it a little bit when it comes to panel strength, when it comes to the style of hurling, when it comes to the incredible fitness levels that both of those panels have currently. And I appreciate there's probably people screaming at the radio now saying Cork haven't won in All-Ireland just yet, but my point would be more that they're the levels that Kilkenny need to aspire to if they're going to get back to the top of the mountain and lift a Liam McCarthy again. It's remarkable to think they're on their longest, you know, barren spell without an All-Ireland title of all time now. At this stage, we stretch into year number 12 when next season comes around, and that's going to be the job for the manager who takes over. But the reality is, it was never ever going to be easy for somebody to come in after Brian Cody, and like, nobody could really question Derek Ling's legacy. You know, an incredible player with Kilkenny, remarkably successful, had won his All-Ireland with the under-20s. They felt that maybe that was going to be the next group of players to bring them forward. I'm not sure if the personnel was quite as good as they would have hoped, and as a result now this looks like it's a bit more of a rebuild for whoever comes in next.
Yeah, I suppose we talked about, you know, Ling kind of not wanting to create much speculation about whether he was going to step down, but now the speculation has moved swiftly towards who's the replacement. Shefflin is obviously the front runner for a lot of people. Is that kind of the road you see them going down now?
I'd be surprised if their call listened to Brian Dowling to see if he'll make the switch from Kildare to Kilkenny. Like, I'm sure a Dowling wouldn't like to be in a position right now where he leaves Kildare and jettisons the role just as they've gone back down to the Joe McDonough for next season. But when you consider what he's achieved on his CV, and not just the fact that he took over Kildare, brought them from Christy Ring through the Joe McDonough back into the Leinster Championship for the first time in over 20 years, brought them up to Division 1B of the National Hurling League as well, had also got them to, you know, a position where they were fighting it out for Division 1 hurling the season just before that as well. Like, it's been a remarkable run that he's had with Kildare over the last few seasons. So I think that's built the CV for intercounty hurling really well. But then you take his success with Kieran's College, the fact he won two All-Ireland titles with the Kilkenny Camogie team. He has shown over a long period of time that he's an excellent coach, and that he is a guy who's gone outside the county, as many of them have had to do in recent years when, you know, when Brian was the manager, and he has proven himself. Okay, he's proven himself in a slightly different way, in that when Henry Shefflin went to Galway, albeit without Brian Cody's blessing when he decided to go west of the Shannon. Most of the others went to teams that weren't necessarily going to be competing against Kilkenny, and Brian Dowling effectively went in that same way. I know Kildare played Kilkenny in the championship this year, but it wasn't going to a direct rival of Kilkenny. Similarly, when Eddie Brennan went to Laois or when Mick Fenley went to Offaly, it wasn't going to be a case of these teams would be directly up against each other. I think David Herity going to Tipperary as their goalkeeping coach and Henry going across to Galway were the two exceptions to the rule when it comes to this. But these guys have obviously been building their CVs outside of Kilkenny. I think Brian has built a really, really interesting one so far. I think he's an up-and-coming manager as well. I can totally understand why the attraction would be there for Henry Shefflin, arguably the greatest hurler of all time. A guy who was in a position having won All-Ireland with his club, Ballyhale Shamrocks, that he was well-placed even when the talk was around who Brian Cody's successor was going to be. He decided that the best way for him to continue his coaching career was to go outside the county. I think Galway was a real mixed bag. I think you could make an argument that actually they didn't improve under Henry. And certainly now when you see that Micheál Donoghue has brought in, you know, a cohort of younger players and that freshness has actually improved them over the last 18 months to 2 years. Mm-hmm. Should Henry have maybe looked at some of them? Was Henry maybe showing a little bit too much to the older guard? That could be a concern from Kilkenny's point of view if they are going to have a rebuild, is would Henry Shefflin be the guy who would come in, clear this out, bring in a new group of players and bring them forward? I'm not quite sure, but I can see where the attraction would be there for Kilkenny to give the job to one of their favourite sons. I think Dowling is possibly a better fit for the job at this moment in time. And maybe Henry Shefflin, you know, maybe he continues to build with the under-20s and in a year or two, he's back in the reckoning for it. But no one wants to sit the rider order and wait for a job to come around. I'm sure that Henry Shefflin is gunning to try and get this position.
You mentioned Dowling, David Herity, Eddie Brennan. The Independent were also saying the possibility of Tom Mullally, obviously former Carlow manager. Would you give much attention to that? Or,
I mean, again, it's somebody who would have to be considered, I think. Again, had his success in club level in Kildare. It seems like kind of Kildare is a bit of a career path when it comes to being linked with these jobs, given that David Herity went that direction as well. But I don't know. I think he would be behind the other two who seem like very clear front runners at the moment. And if I'm in the selection committee, again, openly, Will O'Callaghan's thought is I think that Dowling is very well set and in a good place to maybe get the job at this point. But maybe if they want to go slightly left field, you know, Mullally's built a very interesting CV as well. You know, he's got a track record of improving the teams that he goes in and takes over. Again, I think if this is someone who you want to bring in that maybe isn't as attached to the group as Henry Shefflin would be, that's where Henry's in a very kind of interesting situation whereby he will still have managed against and even still played alongside some of the players that are still there. And he's still fairly fresh out of management within Kilkenny itself, given his second stint that he had at Ballyhale as well. I don't know. Is he too close to it? Is he perfect for it? That's the thing the Kilkenny County Board have to work out at the moment. And I don't for a moment believe that this is a Kilkenny team that are going to continue to go backwards. Some people seem to think that maybe they're now in a state of continual regression. I think it's more likely that this year has been a down year before coming back up, as opposed to a sign that they're going backwards at a rapid rate. A team that were in an All-Ireland final a couple of years ago, a team that were in an All-Ireland semi-final last year, I don't think their story is written just yet, despite the fact that I think some people are ready to write their obituary.
Absolutely. Well, still plenty to look forward to, I suppose, on the Kilkenny front, and plenty to speculate about in the coming months. Quick question for you as well. Who's winning Leinster this time? Is it Dublin or Galway, Will?
Oh, this is a tricky one, right? So the bookmakers have decided that Galway are going to be favourites going into this game. Mm-hmm. And I just wonder, when it comes to that favouritism, is that a certain amount of tradition playing into it as well, that people just kind of assume because Galway have got this level that they can get to, and we've seen it a few times this year, particularly those two performances against Kilkenny. They played very well against both Cork and Limerick in the league, and all of us were saying, oh, do you know what, this actual young group of Galway hurlers, you know, potentially could be at the tail end of the championship here, not just Leinster, but they could be going towards the All-Ireland championship in the last four, and you know, maybe they can give a bloody nose to one of the favourites for the All-Ireland. That, I think, is the reason that people are rating Galway there. I think you have to take into account the fact that this Dublin team, and most of them who are on the panel right now, have got a really good record against Galway, and I think will have no fear about playing them whatsoever this coming Saturday night. They've gone over, a lot of those players in that team have won twice in Salt Hill. There's players who are still on that panel that would have knocked Galway out of the championship back in 2019. They will not have any hang-ups whatsoever with playing against Galway. I actually think that psychologically it's really important they beat Kilkenny to knock Kilkenny out in the last round of the Leinster round robin, because Dublin had already secured their place in the top three. So in a way, it was a case of, can they kick on? And Nilo Caolacán has been very, very open about this, that this season, I remember sitting down with him in studio last year, and I said, Neil, after what happened last season, you get to an All-Ireland semi-final, you knock Limerick out in an All-Ireland quarter-final, what does success look like in 2026? And he said, for us to be successful next year, we need to win a Leinster title. And that is, has been the aim from a long way out. I think it means a remarkable amount to Dublin, the potential to get that piece of silverware. I think also to be able to go directly into an All-Ireland semi-final would be huge for them. I think their defence is an awful lot better structured this season than it was last year, where they conceded heavy totals in a few games, and most notably, obviously, the All-Ireland semi-final against Cork. I think they're better set defensively this year. I hope that Liam Rush is fit for this weekend for Dublin to help to sit in at six, despite the fact they didn't seem to miss him too much in the Kilkenny game. I think when you put him, O'Donnell, frees up Chris Crummy a little bit. Defensively, where Dublin were a little bit shaky last season, they straight away start to look a little bit better this year. I'm not writing off Galway in any way, but I do also take into account the fact that Aaron Nyland, who was their star player earlier this season, has been carrying quite a few injuries. His game time was even limited with the under-20s in their All-Ireland run, and it just means that he can't be 100% fit coming into this weekend. If himself and Rabbit are firing, you've got all that excitement within that Galway forward line. Will Liam Rush be able to maybe put the shackles around Cathal Mannion is going to be a big question when it comes to the matchups for this weekend. And then I just look at the physical profile that Dublin have. You know, we've seen how good Brian Hayes has been. He dropped into a slightly different role the last day. He's just been up and down the pitch. I appreciate the Dublin supporters will hate me talking about their athleticism as opposed to their hurling ability, because we saw their hurling ability many times in Parnell Park the last day as well. I am just starting to edge towards Dublin winning and partying like it's 2013 when it comes to this weekend. So 2013, the winners were Dublin and Limerick. The bookies are saying this weekend, Cork and Galway. There's part of me that's just starting to think it might just be Dublin and Limerick again, and Limerick go down and win in Páirc Uí Chaoimh. So that was my prediction earlier this week on the Hurling Pod, and in the two or three days that have happened since, where I've had time to think about it, albeit we're talking now without me having seen the teams ahead of the final, I'm still going to go with a Dublin and Limerick double for this weekend.
It still can't be any more disappointing than the Leinster final from last year from a neutral perspective, hopefully.
Oh God, yeah. No, I don't think it will be. And I think as well, even a couple of seasons ago when Dublin played against Kilkenny and Dublin didn't show up in that Leinster final whatsoever, I hope that it's not going to be a case of that, where actually all week we start thinking, do you know what, this is maybe the Dublin team that can lock down Galway, do what they did to them in Salt Hill, you know, outrun them. And next thing, Galway just open up at Croke Park. So I hope that doesn't happen. It appears it's going to be quite a large crowd. All talk is that Leinster GAA's decision to free up 20,000 free tickets for kids to go along and watch that game, and also the game between Carlow and Laois in the McDonagh Cup final, means it's going to be a very large attendance in, which I think was a great idea to get people through the gate, because particularly for the senior final, a 6 p.m. start is a difficult one to sell for families. But if you're saying that the kids can go for free, makes it a little bit easier to do that sell. So I'm hoping there's a big crowd in. I'm hoping the fact that the Dublin footballers are on a little bit of a downslope at the moment, that maybe people might get on the bandwagon for the Dublin hurlers and they give us another contender within the All-Ireland Championship. And yeah, I'm looking forward to going up to the games on Saturday and really looking forward to watching the derby between Laois and Carlow in the McDonagh Cup final as well. So it should be a couple of good games, and then we get to recover and do it all again at 2 o'clock on Sunday for the Munster final as well.
Absolutely. Will O'Callaghan, thanks so much. It's been an absolute pleasure as always.
No bother. Chat to you again.